Please rise. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we made it. We made it through another winter, a rather mild winter, but winter nonetheless. And today in the church, we are confronted once again with the starkness of this season. We have come to Judica Sunday. This is the time of the season in the church when we focus on changes that happen. It was normally known as Passion Tide, a time when we remember the passion of our Lord and Savior. But now, once again, during this season of Lent, we are confronted once more with our Lord Jesus and his crucifixion, his death and his burial, and we are also confronted with our sin. The sins that we commit against our neighbor and the sins that we commit against our God. Today we hear of death and burial. Naturally, when we hear of death and burial, our minds will go across the road. And our minds are now in the cemetery. Many of your loved ones are at rest across Hume Road. During winter, our very well-groomed and very well-managed cemetery becomes a rather bleak place. We desire that the resting place of our loved ones be a place of beauty and color, a place where we can visit and remember with love and fondness. Yet winter comes, and with winter comes the bleakness of cold winds and freezing temperatures, snow and ice. It seems as if life itself retreats as green becomes brown. Those trees that stand there as silent sentinels in our cemetery, they become bare sentries, seemingly defenseless. During winter, it seems as if all is dead. All this darkness is deceiving eventually, since we know that the sun will soon begin its trek up from the south. And as it marches up from the south, it brings with it its warming rays, those warming rays of life. The weather will improve, and now that we're in the month of April, those April showers, yes, will ultimately bring May flowers. The brownness, the starkness of our cemetery and of your lawns and of your farms will change from brown to green. And the trees will spring to life, once again being leafy, clothed in the green of life. What is seen today is not really death, only resting. And today, Jesus is present with each of us here at this place of death. For here at this place of death, there at that place of death is where each and every one of you were put to death. And then rose, you were called forth as a man today was called forth and given life. For you see, even though this may seem as a place of death, as a world of death, here today the Lord is present. And since he is the Lord of life, since he is the Son who brings life, Jesus gives life today. My dear friends, a friend of our Lord Jesus was very, very ill. But Jesus waits. He delays for 2 days, and now his dear friend Lazarus has died. It seems like Jesus is too late. It seems like he's done this on purpose. His dear friend has now been dead for 4 days, and there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Lazarus is dead. His body has been prepared, carefully wrapped, buried in a tomb according to the Jewish custom. Lazarus is dead. He is not just dead. He is gone forever, never to be heard or seen of again. Death seems so final. Finally, Jesus and his disciples arrive. They're in Bethany. And in her deep, deep sorrow, one of the dead man's sisters, her name is Martha, runs out to meet Jesus. Even in her sorrow, dear Martha makes a very beautiful confession as she meets Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You can almost hear the sorrow. You can almost feel the anguish. And she's right. She's absolutely right. She confesses that Jesus does have the power to heal and that he could have visited sooner. And if he could have visited sooner, Lazarus would be alive. But, as in life, there are always buts. But, my Lord, my brother is dead, and there is not much that you can do now. Martha knows Jesus, no doubt, yet in her grief, she has lost hope. She continues by saying, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Martha's words throughout our text this morning indicates that she believes, but there are limits to her belief. She doesn't believe that Jesus can bring her dear brother back to life. You see, death is so final. Lazarus is dead. He's been dead for 4 days. He's gone forever. But the Son has returned. And through him, he brings life. Jesus tells her point blank, your brother will rise. But, yes, there's that but again. Martha assumes, she thinks, she comes to her conclusion, what Jesus really means is this. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. True, he will rise in the resurrection. And your loved ones across the road will rise in the resurrection. And you and I, when we die in this life, we also will rise in the resurrection. But at the same time, it's not true. You see, Martha is putting limits on Jesus. And we sinful human beings do the very same thing. We want Jesus to be our Play-Doh Savior. And we want to shape him and mold him in the way that we want. We want to take advantage of his grace and of his mercy and of his power and of his forgiveness. Jesus is not a Play-Doh God. You can't have him your way. You must have him his way and his way only. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Martha answers and says, Lord, yes, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. She doesn't really know what all that means, but she believes it. But she trusts that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Savior. Martha then goes to Mary, as our text tells us, back to the house. And Mary and all the professional mourners follow her, thinking that she's actually going to the tomb, but she's actually going to the Lord of life. And they all follow her, raising quite a commotion, by the way. And when they come to Jesus, they meet him. And Jesus is deeply moved. Jesus weeps. Yes, the God of creation, your God, cries just like you cry when your loved one dies. When my loved ones die, I cry. And when your loved ones die, I cry. And when sin infects your life, it drives you into the pit and mire and muck and the evil of this world, I cry as Jesus cries. He has empathy for his dear children. He has empathy for you, knowing that your sin, your unrepentant sin, will destroy you. And not only you, but those that you love, it also destroys them. Jesus cries. He weeps. He weeps because he knows. He knows what death does to us. He also knows that death is unnatural. He's the Lord of life. And when he created this world, there was no death. But Satan brings in sin and death. And the devil now has power over you. He drives you into sin. And you think your sin is no big deal. And that's what Satan wants you to believe. But your sin is a big deal. So much so that Jesus was brutally beaten and crowned with thorns and nailed to a cross. And he weeps. He weeps because of your sin. He is hurt because his dearly beloved friend is dead. It wasn't supposed to be that way. There wasn't supposed to be sin and death and dying. After all, he's the Lord of life. Lazarus is dead. His body now stinks. That's what Martha really means. He stinks, Lord. He's dead. He's gone. Why do you want to open the tomb? It makes no sense. Jesus answers, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Just like last week, you know the rest of the story. So, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is your resurrection and your life. Where is he? Wherever Jesus is, he gives life. He gives life by his word. He speaks, and Lazarus lives. He comes out. He speaks here. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and you come forth a new creation, a child of God." You see, all this death and dying and rising is a sign. The beginning of what is about to happen in Jerusalem. And what is about to happen for you. Because the tomb is empty. And your tomb is empty. He has given you life. He has given you life in him. The death of our Lord Jesus will be the final and ultimate sacrifice for all sin, including your sin and my sin. For all people, both Jew and Gentile, because he dies on his bloody cross and because he rises again on the third day, his promise rings true for all of you. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes and lives in me shall never die." Many of you still mourn. I still mourn. In the past year, we have said goodbye to several of our dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. You also have family members that you still miss terribly. And you still weep at night there on your pillow. I know you do. For I do also. You miss them. You weep for them. And it is my deep, deep prayer that this text today gives you great, great comfort and great, great hope. Jesus died, but Jesus rose from the dead. He is the conqueror of death. He is the resurrection and the life. Not only at Bethany, but here at Shum. He's not only the resurrection of life in the future, not only on the last day, but He is your resurrection and life right now, today, and forevermore. For where Jesus is, Jesus gives you life. He has already declared to you that eternal life is yours by His death and resurrection. At your baptism, Jesus declared personally to you, come out of the bondage of sin, for I now make you my beloved child. Come out of the darkness of sin. Why would you want to go back into sin? It's lunacy. It's satanic. Repent of your sin. Repent and live. But if you choose to live in darkness, if you choose to live in sin, that is your fault. It is not the Lord's fault. And you are responsible. But your baptism still calls to you. Come out. Come out of the darkness. Come into the light and live. For here, Jesus tells you, I gave you life. I am the Son, and the Son has set you free. And since the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Why put on the shackles of sin? Why die and live with Satan? He is a liar, and he has been a liar from the beginning. And he is a murderer, and he wants to see you dead, spiritually dead. And that death is forever. You see, dear ones, the miracle that happened here at this font was even a greater miracle that happened there in Bethany. Jesus gave Lazarus physical life again, but we know that Lazarus died again. But Jesus is giving you eternal life. Yes, you and I will die physically. That is the curse. Just as with Lazarus, you will die and I will die. There's no exceptions. None. Except one, and his name is Jesus. You already have it. You already have eternal life. Unless the Lord returns, your body, as you have heard, will eventually go across the road. But you're not dead. And your loved ones are not dead, whether they are across the road or wherever they may be resting. For that's what they are. They are resting. And it doesn't matter if they live to be 104 or 101 or one day old. They are resting in the Lord. Satan has no power over them. For Jesus has given them life. And where Jesus is, he gives life. Your Lord spoke to Lazarus and he came back to life. He came back from the dead. And you also heard that he put words into Ezekiel's mouth. And Ezekiel spoke to dry bones. And those dry bones became living bones. Today he speaks to you. Your Lord puts words in your pastor's mouth. And I am to speak those words in spirit and in truth. These words are not a lie. His words to you are, repent of your sin. And if you are unrepentant, don't come up here. Don't come up here and test the Lord. Don't receive His body and blood unless you repent of your sin, unless you go to the one that you have wronged and seek His or her forgiveness. Don't come up here if you don't believe Jesus is present. Don't come up here if you think that this coming up here is a show and you think, well, I'm coming up here to show everyone that I'm faithful. Don't do that. Because you're only condemning yourself. For His word is true. If you don't discern His body and blood, You take his body and blood for your own condemnation. His word is true. It's spring. Yes, it's spring once again. Soon our beautiful cemetery will be green again. The trees, the silent sentinels there, they will be clothed. The flowers will bloom. The sun, S-O-N, has restored life, not only to creation, but has restored and given life to each and every one of you. Those of this fellowship who have died in the faith, they are living. They are living right now. Oh yes, their bodies are resting across the road, but they are here. For very soon you and I will say, with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, they are here. I can say their names, but it's better if you say their names. And as you stand here, they are here with the angels and archangels. But most importantly, Jesus is here. For he brings them. For he is the Lord of life. And wherever Jesus is present, there is life. Dear ones, Jesus will return in glory. You don't know when that day will be, and I don't know when that day will be. Repent of your sin before it's too late. Turn away from your evil life and live. Jesus gives life, and he gives it here today. He gives you hope. He gives you that eternal hope, knowing that when you die in the faith, you die in Christ Jesus. For he is your resurrection, and he is your life. And he is giving you that life because he now announces to you the forgiveness of all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.